Romans chapter 12 today. Romans chapter 12. We begin, and our message is called A Call to Humility. Romans chapter 12. Follow along with me as I read aloud. Romans 12, and we begin in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophecy, or prophesy, I'm sorry, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. When I was 11 years old, for Christmas the one year, when I was 11, I got what I considered one of the greatest gifts I had ever gotten. Even to this day, it's still one of the greatest gifts, even though I've received other really good ones. I received a Nintendo 64.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
Oh, yeah.
It was a game changer. It was the best one out there. In fact, it was so cool. It won all kinds of awards. It was the best system that year. It launched into my love of video games. Well, we were excited. My brother and I, we got this together as a gift. We were excited. In fact, I had been asking for months. I thought I was going to get it for my birthday. Come to find out, at that time, that was actually really expensive. We got it for Christmas Day, and so I was so excited. Went over to my friend's house that night. Our whole family went over to a friend's house for Christmas Day, and we were so excited. We were going to go. This was going to be so cool. They were going to be so excited when we told them we got an N64. They were going to be so jealous. And we get there, and we tell them, and before we can even tell them, they're like, look, we got a PlayStation.
Sorry.
Now, the PlayStation was cool. We were happy for them. They were happy for us, but it just kind of, the excitement dropped. They weren't jealous. I wanted my friends to be jealous. I wanted them to be like, oh, you got a Nintendo 64. And they're like, we got a PlayStation. It kind of lost some of its luster. This is where we find ourselves today. Many Christians who believe we have something great. I'm the next great thing. I have something so cool to offer. Many who say, you know what, I'm better than them. Hey, when we look out another and say, I'm glad I'm not like them. Or God has really blessed me in this area. Sometimes we even have an attitude of, if it wasn't for me, this would fail. If I wasn't in this ministry, it just really wouldn't do well. There's nobody to replace me. If I didn't come to this teen activity, it would be ruined and the other teens won't come. It'll be boring if I'm not there. All right, I don't know about you. I've been there, okay? I've thought that. I'm sure there's somebody in this room who sits there and thinks, it can't be as fun if I'm not there. The teens would suffer. I'm essential is what we say. Today I want to share a passage with you that deals with something that has really helped me. That has really helped me to understand, that helps keep me in check. Helps to keep the pride down. I struggle with that, I'm sure many as well do, realizing that every Christian is essential. Every member of the body of Christ is essential, is important. And if not for the grace of God, we would each be nothing. And so today we're going to look at this in a call to humility. Just a little bit of background as we get into this here. Paul has just finished, really in the first two verses, speaking on God's will for us. Look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So Paul, he's just been speaking on what is the will of God. The will of God is in your life. There's obedience. There is being a living sacrifice. Being holy, not conforming to the world, but being transformed. And as we get into these next verses of 3 through 8, what we start to see is exactly how do we do these things? How do we live what he just told us in the first two verses? How does this in reality play out? First, I want us to see, starting in verse 3, that we are to fit humbly into the church. Fit humbly into the church. Look again at verse 3. For I say to the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Notice Paul here, he's using his position to speak to the believers in this passage. It's believed that perhaps at this point these believers have never met him. They know who he is. He's writing a letter to them as an apostle, as an authority. But in reality, they've never met him. He hasn't had a ministry among them like he had at other places where he traveled to them. And so he's writing this and he's speaking to them, though, in a position of authority, saying, look, as I come to you, as I'm speaking to you, I've been given this grace, I've been given this ministry. But he says, look, I'm speaking on this authority of grace. We know what grace is. We understand, as we have gone through in previous weeks about grace, that grace is something that you haven't earned. That God gives you and you didn't earn it. Like our salvation, we didn't earn it. Our spiritual gifts are given by grace. It's something that we haven't earned. It's something that God has given. And Paul's saying, look, I'm speaking to you, although I have authority, although I have a position, I want you to know that this is something that is graciously given to me. And so I'm coming knowing who I am. He's speaking to everyone. Again, in verse 3, as he's talking, he says, to every man that is among you. He is speaking to all the readers, all the Christians. I believe today we can also look at this and the same truth. While he had a specific audience in mind, it fits for us as well. This is true for everybody. Don't think too highly of yourselves. These people, they don't know him, but yet they know of his authority. And Paul is saying, look, I'm in this position, but I'm really no better than you. All right? So Paul instructs everyone. And in verse 3, and he says, our position in the church is by the grace of God. That should be in your notes there if I didn't click fast enough for you. But secondly, in this, he says that, look, our view of ourselves needs to be in moderation. There has to be some moderation. As in verse 3 tells us, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Everett Harrison once said, God was not obligated to spread his gifts around so lavishly. All right, we think highly of ourselves because of perhaps a spiritual gift. I am a great preacher. I am a great teacher. I do really good in my prayer life. I do really good in this ministry. And Paul's saying, hold on. This is grace. You didn't earn this. God didn't have to give you this. Don't think too high of yourselves. We must not think too highly of ourselves, all right? But also, we must use sober judgment. Sober judgment really is meaning there's some control here. You need to be in control. There needs to be some moderation. There needs to be a rational view. Believe it or not, you are not the greatest thing since sliced bread. All right? We're not. I don't think anybody in here is the next Paul. If you are the next Paul, that's wonderful and I'll rejoice. But we have to really consider ourselves. Who are we in God? There needs to be some moderation, a rational view. Notice what else it says in verse 3. It says, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, what does this mean? Some would look and say, oh, this must be referring to salvation. God gave salvation here. Well, it's not really referring to our salvation, although we could look at it and say, look, I was saved out of much. And somebody who was really saved out of a horrible, sinful life, they could say, God really saved me out of a lot. That took a lot to save me. Well, it's meaning more than that. It also doesn't mean that if we have more, we should do more. The emphasis really in verse 3, when it says on the measure of faith, the emphasis is on that you have been given faith. Whatever God has given you, whatever He has bestowed upon you, whatever element you have, the emphasis is on God. That you have been given this. God gives the gifts. We are dependent on Him not only to receive them, but use them. And so we're using these gifts for the Lord. We're serving in the church. We need to realize it's not us. It's God. It is the grace of God. And this is where we should look. The greater the gift, all right? If He has given us something greater, it really should lead us to go, look, that should humble me even more. God, thank you for giving me such a big ministry. I couldn't do this without you. Thank you for giving me such this position as a youth pastor, or this position to serve in the nursery, or this position. It's all you, Lord. It means we should use it more and more to show God. After all, this is, as it says, this is the measure. This is the standard, okay? In verse 3, to every man the measure of faith. It's the standard. It's the ruler. All right, when we look at it and say, here's the standard, okay? It should lead us to humility because we did nothing to earn this. It should be me even more humbling knowing that God chose to give you more faith than others, perhaps. God gave you more. You struggled perhaps less than others. It shouldn't lead you to arrogance. It should lead you to humility. God, thank you. We look at a couple of verses to show you what I mean. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." This is talking about gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, just like we have in Romans 12. We could also go into Ephesians to see the gifts. But he's like, look, the God is the one who has given. He's given to set. Some of you get multiple, more than others perhaps. Also in the same passage, we skip ahead to verse 18. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him." God gives according to what He sees best. Why does somebody get a certain gift? Well, God gave them that. Why can somebody have this gift and can serve in this way? It's because of God. We can thank God. It should be humbling that I didn't earn this. I didn't deserve this. I didn't do anything to get this. And yet God gave me this gift to serve. Therefore, we must fit humbly into the church. We must fit humbly into the church. Secondly, I want us to look at that we need to connect purposefully within the church. We need to connect purposefully within the church. Look at verses 4 through 6. "For we as have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So as we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith." Paul now, he's going into an illustration. It's Paul here in verses 4 through 6, and it's not the only time we see this illustration in the Bible. He's using the illustration of a body to talk about the Christians, to talk about the church. We could go to 1 Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians 12, we go to the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, and we'll see that we are a body. We are the body of Christ. We are Christians together. And Paul uses this body to illustrate a need for unity within the Bible. A need for unity, not in the Bible, within the body. We must work for unity within the body. Notice I didn't say uniformity. Verse 4, we could just as easily say just as. Look at verse 4. Instead of saying for as we have many members, we could have said just as we have many members. Just as our body has many parts. All right. As far as I can tell, nobody here has lost fingers or toes yet. All right. We all have that. I know we all know people who have, but we have them. And guess what? We understand there are many parts. They work together. They accomplish much, and they work together wonderfully. If you're like me, I don't have to think about it. If I want to go hammer something, my hand grabs it and it works. I don't have to go, all right, pinky, fold. Now ring finger. Now middle finger. Now pointer. Now thumb. All right, they just do it. They work together wonderfully. And yet they have different functions, different purposes. My fingers, I don't walk on my hands, all right? I haven't learned that trick yet. I remember actually when I was growing up, I was doing the three-legged race. Growing up in Awana, I did it all the time. My friend James and I, we actually were really good. James and I never, ever lost a three-legged race. In our church, we beat everybody. When we competed against other churches in Awana Olympics, we go to the first round, we beat everybody. We went to a second round. We beat everybody. That's how good we were at the three-legged race. But why were we successful when others weren't? Well, it's because we worked so well together. We didn't think. We didn't work as individuals. We knew we had a method. We ran the race together. We ran well. James was bigger than me, but we had it down so much so that you didn't think. You just ran as fast as you could because we knew the other person was right there with us. We never tripped or anything. I look at this and say, it's the same way in the church. You say, look, just as we have many members who work so well together in one body, we have different functions, different things we do, and yet we can, with all these different gifts, we can work so well together. There's unity. Notice it doesn't say that we must work for unity because we are in Christ. Notice it doesn't say we are the body of Christ, which we are. That is true. All right, that's not the point here, though. It's saying, but our emphasis is that we are in Christ. We are all in this together. We have the same reason that we're together. It's because of Jesus. Because of who we are in Christ, we have unity. How can I sit here and go, you know what? That David Holmes, he's quite a bit different than me. All right, he's so much better looking than me, but we can get along. How can I sit here and say that, you know, Jocelyn, and she likes Michigan, and yet we can sit together, we can get along, and there's no problem? Why can we do these things? Well, where our bond, our unity is in Christ. What Jesus has done for us. Also notice it says of one another. Meaning we must be together. We can't function alone or apart from the body of Christ. Really, this is an argument for staying home and doing nothing. This is an argument that says, I can stay home and I'll do church at home. I'll do church at TV. Did you know that church is a gathering together? Now, obviously in this day and age with COVID, there's been some little changes and we had to work with it. But why do you think we all long to be back together? Because church is together. It's unity. We work together. But finally, look at the words of verse 6. Notice what it says in verse 6. I must hasten, time is my enemy here, but in verse 6 it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. We're not all made to be alike. We're different. Also, God has chosen these carefully. It's not random, okay? We have the differing gifts, but it says it's given to us. We have been given different things. God has chosen a different gift for different people for specific reasons. He thought of you when you got it. Isn't that pretty cool to know that God was thinking of me? Not only was He thinking of me, He gave me something specifically for me. How humbling that is. I didn't deserve it. It's by God's grace. It doesn't make me special or better, but it does give me a purpose. And so within the church, we must connect purposefully at the church because of the grace He has given to us. He has made our church what it is, and who are we to boast? We need each other. We need unity. The use of gifts in the church will actually, it brings unity. These different gifts, the different functions actually will bring us together rather than separate us apart. It makes ministry easier and more fruitful. I am thankful for those who work in the nursery. My wife will tell you, that is not me. I love little kids, but I do not want to work in a nursery with a crying baby or have to clean them up. Or they spit up on me, I'm going to be spitting up right there with them, all right? But I am thankful and praise the Lord that somebody has the heart and the love of these kids. We work together. As a result, we must fit humbly in the church. We must connect purposely within the church. I skipped that one for you. We must work for unity within our diversity. So if you missed that in the notes, there it is. So we must fit humbly in church. We must connect purposely within the church. And real quick on our third point, we must serve actively as part of the church. When we put all this together, when we realize that we shouldn't think too highly of ourselves, there should be a humility. When we realize that God has given this for a purpose, it should naturally lead to service. Because God gave me this, because I have this gift that has a purpose, I am going to serve. In verses 6 through 8, he starts listing them. Starting in verse 6, he that prophesy, let him prophesy. Verse 7, our ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or teacheth. Verse 8, the exhortation, he that giveth with simplicity, he that ruleth, he that showeth mercy. And he starts listing these gifts. Now, this isn't exhaustive. There are more gifts that we see in the Bible. And I think the reason that we don't see the whole list in any one of them is to show us and tell us there are more. These are just ones he listed. Let's look at a couple things here as we finish. That Paul, he's going into this list of these seven gifts, but these are spiritual gifts that are given to be used. when we think about all of them, and we look at them and how the gifts are, of course we see obedience, all right, in your service and that God has given to us. But I want us to look at these gifts. We see prophesy. It's declaring truth to the hearers. There's ministry or ministry, serving others in the church. Teaching. Prophecy deals more with doctrine. Teaching is really the application, showing how do I live the Christian life. Exhortation is encouragement. Giving is benevolence with a proper motivation, the verse tells us. Leadership. Set the example. It's a position of service. It's not about the position, it's about service. Mercy, you minister to the sick, to the needy. Notice each and every one of these gifts is about others. We serve others, we lead others, we give, we encourage others, we teach them, we declare truth to them, we help them to understand, we serve them. As we go through this, spiritual gifts, they are meant for the benefits of others. And we must be using these to serve within the church. The end of verse 6, though, I think holds the key. In verse 6, when it says, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. I think there's two things we can look at with that phrase right there. One, I think it can apply to the others, but certainly applies to prophecy there. In this day and age, when they were still prophesying and they could tell, declaring the truth that they hadn't heard yet, they were supposed to be two or three others. They're supposed to be those who could substantiate it. Meaning there is a correct way to serve in the church. And it harkens all the way back to verse 3. In verse 3 it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to not think it among you, not to think of himself more higher than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And serving, knowing that God has given this all to you. That there's nothing we did to earn this. And we must be serving within the church, serving others. Thus, we fit humbly in the church. We connect purposefully within the church while we serve actively within the church. When we understand that, we should not think highly of ourselves. It will result in striving for unity through service. God has given us much grace. God has given you, Christian, a gift. Use it. Let's pray. Lord, what a blessing it is today as we continued our Impacted for God series and how you have used your word to help shape us and mold us into your image. I thank you for how this has helped me, Lord, to know who I am in you and how to serve you properly. May our teens here even today learn and apply these truths to their lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let me turn this off. I need to run to Kidtricity. We'll let you guys, you can see.